the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch a cat fish from dusk till dawn. We make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. Grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and he's taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Perceive with our ears. It makes our favorite music and it keeps us out of danger, but it's so much more than that. Hey everybody, thanks for checking out DNews today. I'm Trace. Now listen up. Sound is extremely powerful. It's made of invisible waves of energy passing through substances, ground, water, air, particle to particle. The human ear can perceive these waves as long as their frequency is between 20 hertz and 20,000 hertz. Anything above or below that, we can't hear, but they're still there, because these waves contain energy. And with enough din, you can make these waves do some incredible things. Outside of medical technology like ultrasound, one of the most commonly known ways to make sound do something is by breaking a glass. This works only when the sound wave is at the exact same frequency as the object you're shooting at. If you gently flick a wine glass with your fingernail, you will hear its frequency. Match that tone and turn the volume up. way, way up to like 11, and that glass will probably break. Also within the range of hearing is sound levitation. This is way cooler than breaking stuff, if you ask me. Sound levitation has been around for years, but until recently, we couldn't do much with the stuff once it was levitated. It just hung there in the air. Thanks to advances at a Swiss university called ETH Zurich, we can not only levitate stuff, but we can move it around, adjusting floating fluids. This works by using the energy in the sound waves. In this apparatus, the energy waves reflect back and forth so quickly they form what's called a standing wave, or a specific point where the energy from the sound can hold an object in midair. Think of it like these silly executive desk toys. The ball in the middle, that's the standing wave. The thing that they just figured out is how to move the stuff once it's levitating. Now they can use this system to manipulate liquids, combining and separating them, all without touching them with human hands, which is immediately applicable to drug manufacturing. That's kind of cool. These energy waves can do a lot of other stuff too. The LRAD, or long-range acoustical device, is a weapon that shoots sound. It's like a sonic death ray, but without the death part. It can produce so much sound that you feel physical pain, like 160 decibels. That's loud. Think NASA rocket launch. But it won't kill you. It just really hurt, like a sonic hurt ray. If you combine some of those technologies, sound can produce really strange effects. In the 1950s, NASA and the US Navy built a device that produces ultra-low frequencies, or ultrasonic sound. If you pointed it at a person and set it to 19 hertz, people would have vision problems and get spots and stuff, because 19 hertz is the resonant frequency of the human eyeball. Kind of like that wine glass example we talked about. If you turn the volume up, people actually would have trouble breathing because the low frequencies were impacting the lungs like energy waves. And if you shot it through the ground, your skeleton would vibrate, causing nausea and joint pain. So which of these sound inventions is your favorite? The levitating ones for drug manufacturing, ultrasound, or maybe one of the ones that are used for evil? Share your thoughts with us, and we'll see you next time on D.
Whether coming from a bell or from anything else, all sound has something in common. All sound is created by vibration. Amplitude, or how loud a noise is what we commonly think of as volume, and it's measured in decibels. Think of the straight lines as an axis. If we measure the waves from the top of the crest to the bottom of the trough, one complete cycle is one vibration. The further the distance from the baseline to the top of the wave or crest, the louder the amplitude or volume. The shorter the distance between the top of the wave or crest and the axis, the lower the amplitude or volume. In other words, this would be a pretty soft sound on the bottom compared to the louder sound at the top. Frequency is a degree of highness or lowness in a tone, or pitch. This tuba, for instance, has a low pitch or low frequency. This trumpet has a higher frequency or pitch than the tuba. If you remember, amplitude is measured from top to bottom. On the other hand, frequency is measured more like from left to right. It has to do with the distance between the top of one crest or wave to the top of the next one. So it's the distance between. The further apart the crests are, the lower the pitch. The closer the waves are, the crests of the waves are, the higher the pitch. So this would be like the trumpet versus the other one being like the tuba. There is no sound without vibration.
It's Zip the Science Kid.
Your ears when you're near them. Some are so small, you can barely hear them. Run through the air for the world to hear. Take the time to listen to the sounds that you've been missing. Bring music to my ears. Ears are a natural listening tool. Some are long and floppy like the ears on a mule. You know a lot of animals have got them too. You hear them and they hear you. Make a sound wave with your voice. Make it loud or soft, now that's your choice. Take the time to hear the sounds wherever you go. My favorite sound is a friend saying hello.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Shazizz Radio, Mad Science, www.shazizzradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat over there today, jump over there to www.shazizzradio.com/superchat.html. Don't learn electrical safety by accident. So, I got my friend Justin on here, and I posted a video in the chat room, actually a couple videos in the chat room regarding sound, sound energy. It's a really fascinating subject. There's a lot of different things that can be done with sound and frequency ranges and such, and so with that said, the video that I posted, if you go over to my YouTube channel, is called Soundwave. And in this video, you'll see where I took a couple speakers and a closed container and used the first speaker to send a sound wave through the air inside the closed container and basically repeat that sound on the opposite side. And I did post a notice inside that particular video that said somebody's going to say, "Ooh, you made a microphone, big deal." Well, the video has some significance towards a much larger project that I'm working on. So with that said, I've been saying forever and a day that energy travels in waves. It doesn't matter whether it's sound or water or wind or whatever. All this energy travels in waves. Electricity, you name it. And so with that said, if you need to get some work done in between, you can tap into what nature has already provided, or even as far as what man has provided, because we live in a noisy world these days. There's all kinds of radio frequencies going on out there. There's all kinds of vibrations, all kinds of loud noises at all times. There's technology available, such as speaker technology, that could actually be modified to generate more power than what these do basically in the millivolts at this point in time, depending on which diaphragm speaker you're working with. And then there's also piezoelectric crystals that work off of vibrations. Chances are, if you got a cell phone, you probably got a piezoelectric microphone and a speaker in there. And so when you put a current to those, they vibrate, and that's how you get your acoustic wave out the other side, as that wave is traveling through the air and interrupting stuff, and then your ear picks it up, and the little eardrum inside there basically pounds out that energy down to your brain, and you can hear the sound. Pretty cool stuff. What do you think, Justin? You still there? Or did I lose you?
No, I'm here. Sorry, I was just outside having a smoke. Yeah, sounds amazing. It really is. I'd just like to say that we have mathematics, right?
Yeah.
And we always get energy by using the difference in potentials, right? So, with sound, we're making a difference in potentials.
Well, and you can also increase and decrease the decibels of it to basically increase and decrease the power, just like turning up electricity with a variac or a potentiometer, you know.
Right. You know the word that I always say, effluvium, right?
Yeah.
Well, since you've been kind of studying sound, if you have a magnet, right, like a speaker, and you have a coil, and you just put a little bit of amperage and a little bit of voltage in there, it'll cause it to push. It doesn't matter what orientation or polarization it would be, because it's an on and an off switch, right?
Yeah, that's essentially what you're doing with any transformer, because you're pulsing it on and off, and that's where the vibrations in the speaker diaphragm comes from. Essentially, you're switching it on and off. Dots and dashes, ones and zeros.
So, when we fill up that coil with what we say we correlate electricity to is water, we fill it up, it's like a little clown balloon. It pushes against the magnetic field, quote unquote, right? So if you fill it up and then you put an oscillation into it, right, it'll bounce around frictionlessly.
Well, that's essentially what we're doing with everything, electricity. Right now we use a brute force magnetic field to shake loose the electrons. And so with that said, everything out there in this planet has some sort of resonant frequency, the crystal glass and the opera singer example. You know, there's always, once the opera singer reaches that pitch, that it's in the same range as the resonance of the glass. Once she hits that pitch and a little decibel higher, and pow, the glass shatters. So there's no reason why you couldn't actually use sound to move the electron inside the copper wire. What do you think?
Lift rocks.
Huh?
Lift the rocks. Move the rocks.
Well, yeah,
there's
all kinds of stuff you can do with sound, because the vibrations of the sound energy traveling is, they...
vibratory structure, the crystalline structure of the quote-unquote atomic structures of the lift crystalline structures, right, of all of the physical material world that we live in. They all have the 3, 6, and 9s. The algorithms, like the oblifts, the angles. And when you vibrate water, it can't... We perceive it as can't being compressed, right? So when you vibrate a structure, you're vibrating the water. That's why the cello, I call it the cello, the cello sits on a needle. It vibrates the solid material along with the natural medium. So when you hear the sound, you're hearing it through your ears, but you're also getting a vibratory sense of it too.
Well,
vibrating water.
In my video, I've got two speakers facing each other, and it is in a closed system that I used plexiglass to seal in the system, so that wave is focused from one speaker to the next. It's not just going out into the air. And so whenever you turn on the signal generator, I started this one off at 0.05,000 kilohertz, and you could start to hear this thing buzzing, you know, in a low frequency range, and the higher that you turn it, eventually you get to a point where you can't hear it anymore, and the speaker's not picking it up. Well, It's the same thing that I tried to explain why the Slayer exciter circuit and the Tesla coil can only go so far at certain frequency ranges because the wave is expanding and collapsing so rapidly. It's the right. equivalent of a microwave in your oven, in your microwave oven. There is a short, really fast wave. And once it gets out there and starts to interact with all the atmosphere around it, it basically will start to slow down. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, like you can affect, see sound, with the Slayer exciter and everything, you can affect sound just by taking a car battery, putting some salt in a jar, hooking it up to the jar, and turn your radio on, and you can throw pebbles in the water and you'll hear it in your radio.
Yeah. Well, you also see inside the video while I'm doing this, I could actually sit over there and tap on it. See, now, the example that I gave with the speakers is not the best example for how to capture that energy. However, you can see at which frequency ranges you're actually producing a voltage. But you got to keep in mind that there's a little coil on the back of that diaphragm that's actually going back and forth in between that magnet, which is fluctuating that magnetic field and sending the energy down to the amplifier, which then in turn is sending it to the speaker. But at a more rapid rate, that field is expanding so and collapsing so fast, it doesn't have enough time to build up energy to actually produce an electric charge going back to the voltmeter. If you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. See, that's why Edley Stallion used the U-shaped magnet. And we don't use pure concentric octave tones. What I mean is the instrument is a tuning fork. If you take a U-shaped magnet and you wrap two coils around it, right, and you stick a tuning fork into it, and you create an oscillating circuit, and you speak into it, it'll vibrate that tuning fork, and if you have another tuning fork, and another U-shaped magnet, it'll vibrate the other tuning fork, and you can pick up and receive images wirelessly with just tuning forks.
Yeah, they call it sympathetic resonance. If you take two identical tuning forks and you bang one on the table and put it in the vicinity of the other one, because it's a matching frequency, will begin to vibrate. And right. so if that first wave is strong enough, it doesn't matter where on the planet that other tuning fork is. It will start to vibrate. And so that's part of the key of why this research is pretty important, because if you wanted to do some sort of real-time wireless energy, whatever you make on this side is going to duplicate on the opposite side. You see what I'm saying?
Right, you're just splashing in the water.
Yeah, all we're doing is taking energy and moving it from point A to point B. You know, with the waves in the water like you talked about, those right. if you could see how the magnetic field is interacting with whatever action that you produce, you would see pretty much what you see in that pool. Waves everywhere, all over this planet. So, with that said, there's tons of energy, including sound energy, that have vibrational qualities to them that can actually be picked up and stored energy. And so whenever you're talking about, you was telling me a while back about breaking rocks with sound energy. Well, that's proven science already, because if an opera singer can actually raise the voice up and shatter a crystal glass once they hit that range, then there is no reason why you couldn't do the same thing with a rock, which could explain a lot of stuff that we got laying around all over this planet that people don't understand how, you know, somebody could either cut this at a specific time or whatever, you know, in history. And there are materials out there. There are rocks out there that are have a natural bell tone to them when you bang on them. They sound like, you know,
vibrating. Everything.
Yeah.
Everything vibrates. I've been so adamant about water, right? Because if you look at what we've been taught, we have four fundamental states: gaseous, liquid, solid. And just like English, we have sometimes Y. Well, in physics, we sometimes have plasma. Now, the only thing that can go through all of those would be sound. Light can't go through solid, not a thick, solid thing. The pressure of it, which is the sound, the vibration of the light, can go through it. So sound can go through all of the states. So it is a transjunction of energy that is flawless. It has no quote-unquote friction, right? If we look at a mechanical watch that is powered by piezoelectricity, right, we have a battery in there, but that battery is just nothing more than a simple capacitor. The piezoelectricity, the quartz crystal, is shaped so that the geomagnetic field of the Earth, the vibration of the Earth, causes it to vibrate and causes an oscillation for the watch to tick.
Well,
the battery, they're nothing more, but they keep that at a continuous vibration. So we've had sound making perpetual motion machines for a long time.
Well, you know, when you try to argue with the so-called physics professors or college-educated individuals out there, they got some sort of idea that there's perpetual motion is not even remotely possible. However, according to their own deal right there, this Earth has been spinning for billions of years, and the sun's been burning for billions of years, and since the Earth is a thermoelectric generator of epic proportions with not just heat, but it also has, there's tons and tons of caves around. There are some places where the wind blows through certain caves or rock formation that you get a natural tone that is generated by that wind blowing through there. So you're generating a vibrational frequency by that wind blowing through whatever materials it's going through, or even a acoustic wave through a cave. And as far as I'm concerned, if it's been doing that for billions of years, then that's more than perpetual motion. You see what I'm saying here?
Remember 3 years ago when I met you and you went on a video call with me and you put something near the water?
Yep.
What was that?
I don't remember, it's been a while.
The tuning fork.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 3 years ago.
Yep, and
I've been playing with sound since I was a child. Since we've all been playing with sound. We're speaking sound now, right? It's the opposite mathematics of the difference in potential.
Well, see, what I've been trying to point out to everybody out there for the longest time is energy, you know, according to the conservation of energy, energy can neither be created nor destroyed. We've repeated that ad nauseum, right? That's their own laws of physics. And I've been talking about how all we're doing is moving energy from point A to point B. The copper wire is one medium. The air, the atmosphere, is another medium. The water is a medium. All of it basically waves traveling through, and everything interacting with each other to get vibrational frequencies. When you slap the water, you get an acoustic wave and a vibrational frequency all in one shot, and that wave just goes out all over in every single direction. So all we're doing is moving energy from one point to the next. And it's never been about getting more power out than you putting in, even though I fully believe that because of certain types of anomalies that occur with the ways that you do different forms of energy, it's fully plausible that you can get out more than you put in. I mean, take the atomic bomb, for instance. The way that it is initialized, the way that the material is basically the fusion begins. There's not that much energy to actually set that thing off, but the energy that's created after that is amazing. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, when it comes to using sound physics, because that's the way that everybody would see it as, it's all about the density of the apparatus. So the Earth has an atmosphere, which equals P. P equals mass divided by volume. We have a certain mass and we have a certain volume. So this apparatus that we're on out exceeds any apparatus that man has ever and will ever build. Period. Literally.
But it's still ticking, that's what I'm trying to say.
Right, it's still ticking, but any apparatus that we make or create off of sound is coming from the earth. What I'm trying to say.
Well, either way, all we're doing is moving energy from one place to the next, and we want to be able to get work done in the process. So there, sound is just another way, another form in which you could actually you can actually hear electricity if you're tuned in with the right
if you can relate voltage and amperage to temperature and pressure.
Well, yeah, that's basically what I'm trying to say. But you can actually hear that transformer. You can hear that energy being transmitted through that copper wire.
So when does a tuning fork ring the transformer? When can you take a tuning fork, design it, and ring it, and it'll induce or transduce the transduction of sound energy to electrical energy?
That's where the mathematicians have to come in, man, to get down there and measure the actual resonance of an electron, you know, to be able, see, there's sound frequencies out there that'll make you sick. There's sound frequencies out there that'll literally kill you, man. There's sound frequencies out there that just aggravate you, rattle your teeth out of your face. Sound
melt your brain. They have that. They're using those in the United States right now. Those crowd control units, the RFIDs, right? They pull them out and they put the sound on. They stand behind it. And everybody just starts running and cuddling their heads and everything. They can melt your brain.
Well,
absolutely. Because what they're doing is they're vibrating the water inside of your body. Our whole body works on hydrothermal dynamics. Our heart is a vibrating source, and it works on pure water.
What I'm trying to say, though, is that that the energy potential is unlimited, not even excluding levitation. It's already been shown that you can actually levitate things with sound. All right? It's right there. It's proven physics, proven science. You can't deny it. You can see it with your own two eyes. And there's actually other experiments out there. That will literally show when you're looking at something, you will see where it appears that this water that is actually still moving and falling is frozen in time. It's certain frequency range at which the sound is going past that wave, your eye perceives that water as just standing there. You see what I mean?
Right. When does your eye see through a snake's eye? When do you hear what a snake hears? When do you open
I ain't never seen what a snake hears.
In the ego of your own belief.
What are you talking about?
What?
I said, I ain't never seen through a snake's eyes. What are you talking about, man?
That's why humanity is only limited to our energies is because we don't use infrasound, right? We don't hear that. We don't see the things that these other animals and creatures do. So we don't acknowledge it and then we don't believe it. We know the magnetic field exists. When we take two magnets and stick north to north, they push each other. But we can't see it, but we see the effect. So therefore we believe in it, right? But if something that you don't acknowledge and you don't just, you know, perceive, you're not going to believe in it.
So what's your point? The birds and the animals have been navigating via some sort of source, whether it be the magnetic field or whatever. We all believe because we have a compass that's how it actually happens. They use the magnetic field to go north and south. They know where the heck they're at because the way that they're designed is they use whether it's the flux lines of the magnetic field that actually surround the earth or whatever, they know where they're at. They know where north is, they know where south is, they know where to migrate, and so on and so forth. They don't have GPS, or do they?
there's a guy out there named Victor Schoenberger, and he talks about how the fish swam and the bird is flowing, right? Well, the the worm is singing. See, the gooey worm we've been taught in school, which was fairy tales, we're told that it eats the dirt. Okay, it may consume some of it, but no, it vibrates its way through the earth, just like the infrasound drilling that we use nowadays. We just vibrate a bar so high in frequency, it sings its way through the ground, just like you can sing your way through the rock. Literally, if you take a spear and you were to hollow it out so that you can screw it back together and it was heavy, and you put a vibrator in there going one way, and you put another vibrator going another way, so that you have a sympathetic and a periodic sound wave, it would sing, and you could tune it, and it would just sing its way right through the ground. And this is proven back in their books, in their institutions, in their schools, their skulls, right? Because if that's what you go to school for, to neurologically skull your mind.
I don't know all about all the terminology thing, but I do know. Stephen says a snake sees an infrared, and that's pretty doggone impressive. We can't see an infrared, but a snake can see an infrared. And look
well,
at
we
some
see
of the
low infrared. Huh? This is the we see in the low infrared, which is the snake's high infrared, right? The decimal value between the two.
But either way, knowing that all these animals and insects have all these capabilities, and then people, want to believe that a lot of things aren't possible, such as levitation. I mean, with the proper sound waves, and you produce a standing wave, and suddenly this object in between there is actually floating there in space in between these waves. It's been done, you know, and using different materials such as like bismuth. Russ from RWG Research showed a video where he's actually levitating an object in between the two magnetic fields. And right. So we can actually adjust where we want something to be at, or we can... Why isn't some of this technology really seriously being used out here in the world?
Yeah, see, when we use electricity, we can use electricity and create what we call a deflective and a reflective index. But it takes so much energy to create that. But when you use sound and you vibrate an object, it hums, yeah, and you can control it to go up or down, left or right, for sure. And not only that, it would create an atmosphere around the object, making it so that you wouldn't feel any G-forces. This isn't hypothetical or any theosis or however you pronounce that word. It's well documented. Well documented. My whole life isn't about creating energy and putting it in the house. It's about moving the rocks like the Egyptians did.
Well, I don't know how the Egyptians did it. I wasn't back there, but I can speculate. I mean, they got some 20-ton blocks that the modern-day cranes would really seriously struggle trying to even budge. So there had to have been something, some sort of knowledge back in the day, or, you know, they had some sort of secret, man.
Well, if you look at the history, which we don't know whose his story is or her story, we know that 170 years ago, man was not academically inclined, right?
How can you say that?
Because
if you look back at the doggone Easter Island statues and all the different things through history, huh?
But I'm talking about our so-called era, right? About 170 years ago, we started creating these schools, which started by men coming together, drinking tea, sharing notes, having conversations like this. We created our foundation, our schools, right? But before that, we perceived that there was no mathematics, right? But then when we look at the walls of all these great monolithic buildings, we know. Like the Baghdad Battery, they won't even acknowledge it in our institutions. You Google that, and they ignore it. They say that it was something that you would put scrolls in. How is that even possible? Right? But we know one thing for a fact. Music's always been accepted. Sound has always been accepted. And if you can sing, extremely well, not well, extremely well, and hit those notes, you are blessed. Right? Look at all these people, Justin Bieber, Mickey Minaj, all these singers, right? They get away with whatever they want. Why? Because they can sing. Because singing is very special. It's been recognized throughout history forever. Because powerful energy. We say it when we come together and we sing, look at Christmas time. The kids go Christmas killing, right? All these things.
And why would anybody ever say that there's no such thing as free energy?
Because they went to school, which neurologically scalded their mind to think other things.
Government indoctrination center, that's what they are. So when you think outside the box and you watch everything that nature does naturally, and you actually see some of the machines that man flies around in, and you know that it's possible to break the sound barrier and get a big, huge sonic boom, and we know that we can actually cut or destroy things using sound energy. There's
you
just
the earth in half.
Huh?
You crack the earth in half. And that's why they try to keep it out of our
Well, that'd be a really nice thing to do now, wouldn't it?
Right. See, that's why they try to keep knowledge out of institutions, because you never know when some man, grown man, is supposed to be responsible and have empathy and sympathy and all the other things, and care and love, and be benevolent to the world and have peace, might have a temper tantrum and do something stupid. Right?
Well, you know
you
what?
Never know.
Somebody told me the other day that one of my deals, this is my death ray video, it was irresponsible, all right, because you shouldn't put that technology out there. Look, man, the first rock, as far as the history of what I believe in this world, was first murder was with a rock, all right? And so, with that said, you know, you can't have to ban everything and put everybody in bubble wrap if you're going to go by that concept, because we got all kinds of tools and technology out here. And if mankind wants to blow themselves up, it doesn't matter whether there's rules or regulations or suppressed technology. There's so many different ways to do it. It ain't even remotely funny. But if we're ever to advance, we need to know all the score, not just part of the score. You know, like that Stephen typed in there, the Cuffrey Foundation stones are 400 tons. All right? How'd they move 400 tons a couple thousand years ago? That's a very, very good question, right?
They show you in a picture on the wall.
They moved it with sticks and levers and stuff like that?
No. They sung it. They had people guide it and pull on it. Well, they created sound waves which vibrated the ground.
All right, Justin.
If you go out west to California, right?
You get out there and you sing and you lift a 400-ton stone, and I will give you everything I own. Everything.
Why everything you own? Because there's no such thing as an imperial valley world to me. I've already told them that and made that clear to everybody.
I'm not saying you couldn't take that sound frequency and raise 400 tons. I'm not saying that's not possible, because I believe anything's possible in this world.
Right.
I'm just saying I want to see the technology so much that I'm willing to say, if you show me that you can do that, you can get out there and rip out a tune and get that thing to dance around the yard, I give you everything I own, man. Because that'll prove everything I've been saying all along.
I'm asking you to come and cut and carve the rocks with me for a long time.
Well, I'm just not ready to travel to Canada just yet.
Well, it's been getting pretty crazy there in the States, hasn't it? You know, want to come over to the Canada.
Well, it's getting crazy all over the freaking planet, man. That's what the problem is. You got to get people.
I posted a video on Facebook. Well, that stuff's going on in the States. Here in Canada, you got a black guy in Toronto, not being racist, dancing with a white cop. They're in the middle of the street, they're dancing, they're doing the limbo and everything. It's like, You got Dr. Steve, meanwhile in Canada, you got peace and love.
Well, see, now, the same thing could be said for over here in the United States. Everybody ain't running around shooting cops and all that kind of stuff. You know, you got good people all over this planet and you got bad people all over this planet. You got people faking news and you got people making news and people copycatting all kinds of stuff. So there's nutcases in every single corner of this globe, man. And yeah, so, with that said, the world is going nuts. And until you get people to wake up long enough to pay attention to what the real potential and possibilities are, and that doesn't just include where we could actually go, but it also includes where we're going as humanity because of the stupidity that's going on. There ain't no reason to be fighting over oil. We're sitting here talking about technology that could be advanced, you know. And
all I know about is my pretty nails and my high heels and my dirt bikes and my boats. See, that's how people are living right now. That's all they know because that's what it is.
They've been trained to do. They've been trained to do that, man. They've been. You don't get a material girl in a material world by accident. People told her that if you look this way, then you're cool. If you don't look that way, then you're a nerd or whatever. You know. It's been pounded in their head through the government indoctrination centers for so long that society looks at the pretty people as if they're the way to be, you know. And if a little girl is a little bit heavy set, then she feels bad about herself because mainstream media, all they show is the really beautiful skinny women in bikinis. They don't show the real women, you know, the women that you're seeing every day when you go down the road. There's not one of them beautiful airbrushed women on every corner, everywhere you go. I'm not saying there ain't some really beautiful women in the world, but that's how the media has portrayed it so long that these people believe that this is what, you know, this is what's good, you know. Look at the cartoons and the commercials between the cartoons that hold on a second. Look at the way that they advertise to these children out there. Some of these kids will look at something, watch this deal, and they got to have this toy, man. The way this toy is explained to them, they got to have it. Right? And that's what's going on in this world. These people out there have been basically taught how to act like this. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
If from start to finish we would have been teaching them about the real science and real things in the world and real consequences for your actions and so on down the line, you wouldn't have all this craziness going on. And when you got a government who's supposed to be representing you, who on the at the other side of their neck are stirring racial tensions and mocking people's spiritual beliefs or whatever. What in the heck is that?
My phone.
Anyway, when you got a government who's doing stuff like that, then you got to expect that you're going to have people out there who are lesser educated that's going to act like fools. And that's why we're trying to get around all this stuff. We're trying to put out knowledge to the average Joe out there to show that you've got choices in this world. You got all kinds of ways that you can do it. And the research that we're talking about, you know, today about sound energy, you could take that sound wave and you could turn it into an electrical wave that you can then transfer over via copper wire or vice versa, copper wire energy into the copper wire that is pushing a diaphragm or a piezoelectric, which pushes out a acoustic pressure wave that then in turn is picked up by another diaphragm or piezoelectric on the other side. So both forward and backwards, you can do the same exact thing. If the energy will travel this way, it will travel that way as well. And so with that said, then all this stuff that we've been talking about, all the different energy, because we're using energy so inefficiently, you know, we got to put a lot of fuel in just to get something to go because we're not doing it right. That's what I've been trying to point out all along. Nobody's been ever trying to get out more than they're putting in. What we've been trying to point out is the efficient ways to do it. You know, see, Raymond's got a video out there where they're taking an internal combustion engine and they're vaporizing the fuel and then putting it into the engine. That's a step towards ultimate efficiency of that. But if you had the knowledge on how to actually use the sound waves and capture the sound waves, it doesn't take much voltage to actually produce a sound wave. I mean, that one...
Why can't you just take a little battery and make a platform and vibrate yourself forward and upward?
Say what now?
You can take a battery and vibrate a platform and go in any direction you want to go in.
Well, yeah, but see, here's the key.
With the sound, you create a difference in potential, right?
Listen.
You're playing with adhesion and cohesion, the surface tensiles, like a water strider.
Well,
right?
Listen,
it
man.
It's on top of the water. It's
outside of the whole high-tech terminology debate of everything out there, if you take any material out there, if you can resonate that one specific material, and you can produce a wave, let me finish, if you can produce a wave that is 100 miles in diameter, every single piece of material, like if you had a billion tuning forks within that 100-mile radius, that one tuning fork being resonated would literally vibrate every other one in that inside that 200-mile radius. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
We already do it. That's how come radio towers, 150,000-watt radio station, can put energy out to all these different radios within their reach. You see what I mean?
But that you have to keep that initial pulse going on that tuning fork, which you can.
Yeah, but see, you only got one. That's what I'm saying. It only takes one to vibrate as many as you can fit within that field. If a 50,000-watt radio station can transmit sound over to 100,000 listeners, there's one source that is energizing that wave over to 100,000 listeners. You see what I'm saying?
1 watt can do that with a tuning fork.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you. All I'm saying is that it only takes one source to be able to push all those other ones. Now, when that energy wave comes back to the other side, we use amplification and stuff like that to basically change that that sound wave back into something that we can hear on our side. You see what I mean? It's an electrical wave coming one way, and then we put it back into a sound pressure acoustic wave so that we can hear it again. So that energy was transmitted wirelessly through the air, and then now it's coming back just like we're doing right now. I'm talking through a piezoelectric speaker, which is going through my computer and down through the lines and repeaters.
There's a clear difference between sound propagation here with a tuning fork and electricity, because we're using guided beams. That's why we're no longer on analog. We went digital because it's all directed so that it's controlled.
It's all the same exact thing, man.
So that we keep following them so that we keep being mindless. It took cursive writing out of schools. My daughter doesn't learn cursive writing unless I teach her. You see, they're making the kids forget our language that we've learned. It says it in the Georgia Guidestones that we're going to have a new written language. Look with everything that's going on around the world. They're going for depopulation. They're pushing for it. Yeah, I have empathy.
Well, they can try it, but they're going to get denied. Either way, all the energy, it doesn't matter what form of energy you're talking about. Every single bit of energy in the entire universe is all one and the same. It's basically tapping the medium and getting a response. It's like stretching a rubber band out. The farther you stretch it out, the harder it's going to hit you in the eye when it pops back. So that's basically what I've been trying to point out, and we're doing it the hard way with the way that we have to spin magnets past a coil of wire in order to get that same deal. When, if you look, you can do the same thing with transistors and resistors. There's no moving parts in there. You see what I'm saying?
Like you're saying, we've been doing that with the coil and this and that. You can just make frequency with round mirrors that have holes in them. When you guide frequency and everything, it's all about pressure and temperature. So when you guide a parabolic mirror, which is one of those Egyptian mirrors, it creates a frequency, right? You can hear that over very, very long distances, like a whisper, over 250 kilometers through a disk and receiving it in a disk. Because of the surface tensile, when you speak, the pressure hits it and guides it. It's a parabolic.
So everything out there, that's what I'm saying. Energy travels in waves, all right? Everything out there has its own resonant frequency. And with a little bit of common sense and mathematics and such, you could literally design the perfect generator that isn't going to take a whole lot of energy in order to... All we're doing, anytime we do anything, like with Tesla with the knife switch example, he hits the switch, sure. And he's wondering why whenever the switch makes connection that suddenly there's a surge of power and then everything balances back out. Well, that thing applies in everything you do out there. Why the whole, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. You know, whenever you do something and you throw nature off balance, nature basically fills back in the gap. It balances everything back out. It doesn't matter whether it's sound or liquid or electricity or magnetic fields, any fluctuation in anything you do, knocking on wood or knocking on metal, you're going to get different tones and you're going to get different vibrations depending on what the material is, but it's all the same thing. Yeah.
It's on the water. Everything is in water. It's the transformation of the isotopes. Isotopes meaning the first part of iso, it means equal in Greek, and the last part of it, topes, means after. Right? So water, if we look at it, we say it's two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, right? So all it is, and we look at our periodic table, is alkaline and acid. The two hydrogens, one is acid, one is alkaline. And they're stretching on the oxygen, they're making it unequal. Everything's about making that sound, stillness.
Well, I don't care if everything in this world is made up of water. That doesn't even excite me at all. I don't care if everything in this world is made up of...
Right, is the resistant value of it. If the temperature and the pressure change in the atmosphere, then when you talk, it's going to change from here to 50 feet away. Same with the sonic boom. That's why it has a variation. Well, it might happen at Mach 1, it might not happen at Mach 1.
You raise the decibels up and that sound will travel out yet even farther. So it's nothing different than what we're doing with standard electricity, with exception is the mechanical force that we're using to generate what we call electricity is basically wasted energy. It's not necessary. That's what I'm trying to point out.
So if we change the pressure, right, which we do with a quote-unquote plasma tube, all we're doing is taking the oxygen out, right? So we're taking the water out, and then the sound can travel much faster, and we see it as a purple hue.
Well, voltage is pressure right there, and that's
right.
That's the whole deal. And the higher the voltage, the higher the frequency, the faster you're moving that energy wave. You can create a frequency range that you can't hear anymore. It doesn't mean that the doggone thing's not still there. In my experiment that I showed in that video, you see where you get to a point where that diaphragm appears to not even be vibrating, when in reality it probably still is vibrating, but it's vibrating at such a high rate that paper is only barely even moving half of a fraction of a whatever, you know, a tiny, tiny, tiny bit. It's still vibrating. It's not vibrating enough to literally push those coils in and out the flux line to actually generate enough electricity to transfer that energy from one side to the other, because it's going incredibly too fast.
But if you take a piece of plastic and you put a piece of cardboard on top and another piece of plastic on top of that, and you vibrate them, you can take the voltmeter and you can read electricity on the voltmeter.
Well,
you're citing the dielectrics, the statics, that's what all of electricity is all about.
The energy's still there; it's just in a completely different form. And so you're not
fundamental frequency is the fundamental frequency. It doesn't matter how you're transducing energy, it's still energy.
Well, that's what I've been saying all along, man.
Right. Piezoelectricity, piezo is all about pressure. When you talk, you're breathing in, you're breathing out. That's all about the difference in pressures. Your inside your body has a difference in pressure. If you make a tube and you vacuum it out, you put an inert gas in there, and then you got another tube with water in it, and a couple other little things, and then you open up the valve, they're going to hammer back and forth, just like your heart does, because there's a difference of pressure inside that system than there is on the outside.
Only difference between a vacuum and something with atmosphere in there is you got less of anything that's going to create resistance, such as the air itself is the resistance that whenever you try to yell from here to Canada, just with your voice, you can't do it because the wave just gets slowed down in basically what you call the medium, is the air, alright? But if it was a vacuum, where you didn't have the resistance of the atmosphere itself, you could probably yell from here to Canada and they'd hear you.
right. It's no different, because you're using the medium, right? Like when I was talking about the cello, the wood on the ground in the symphony that you're sitting at on, or you're sitting in a chair and your feet are on the wood, right? That cello has that needle. And that wood has a volume and a mass. It has a density, which means that it has an atmosphere of its own. And if you vibrate it, you're going to feel that, because you're vibrating the cellulose of the wood. The water's in the wood.
Well, voltage will take...
You're
going to
feel it coming through your body, vibrating your body, and then you're going to feel it coming and hitting you in the medium.
Voltage will take the path of least resistance, just like sound will take the path of least resistance. So whatever volt range you got on there will determine how much resistance it can actually overcome in order to get from point A to point B. Tapping on a piece of wood on one side of your house can actually be picked up on the other side of the house with a microphone.
Right.
So...
So you're saying all this, but yet you're willing to give me everything you own instead of willing to give me everything you own. Are you leaving soon to go to the church?
No, you're missing my point for even saying that. See, if you try to prove something to somebody, you got to build a functional generator that somebody can replicate. And if you sit there and you say, I can move a 400-ton rock with my voice by just singing it over to where I want it, then that's something that, you know, like they call Missouri the show me state. It's like here it's either put up or shut up, you know, show me. You know, nobody believes in that without seeing it, and that's how society pretty much is. And so all these other technologies that we know about, that we talk about on a regular basis, that are shelved somewhere in a government warehouse or even a corporate warehouse for later financial gain, you know, if you put something out and you show people how they can move a 400-ton stone, then all bets are off. The government ain't got no more power over you as far as energy generation, or basically keeping that knowledge out of your hand. Essentially, Pandora's box is open the moment you raise that 400-ton stone with your voice. You see what I'm saying? That's the point.
That's what you're saying. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll let Raven do some videotaping of some work that I do at the church. Raymond's coming to see me in about a month and a half, 2 months.
Well, when Raymond videotapes it and I see it, seeing is believing as far as I'm concerned. I know it's possible. I'm not doubting you in the least. All right. I know that sound waves can cut things in half. I know that water under the right pressure, sound under the right pressure, everything under the right, anything under the right pressure will literally cut through steel or any material out there. They got saws out there that use high pressure pumps that'll cut right through wood, perfect smooth cut. That same saw will actually cut through steel as well.
Right. We got all kinds of different apparatus. Like you could look at a electro discharge machine, EDM, right? We have wire, we have zinc. It's just a cathode or anode, and it creates a high frequency under the water. The reason under the water is so that the material gets deflected away from it, so it keeps a nice cut, and it keeps the material at the same temperature, so there's no expansion of the material to make it warp or it's being cut. That's the only reason for the water. But it's just a wire, or a cathode or an anode, or the object itself is the anode, and it's cutting it flawlessly.
Well, either way, I have done experiments in my own personal lab where at certain frequencies you will see things that they said did not exist, literally. That's a fact. I mean, whether it's a hallucination because of the frequency range that your brain works on, or basically the frequency range doesn't match the speed of your eye, I mean, you can actually physically see some of the effects through the video camera, because the video camera even has its limitations as far as how high it can see or how fast it can see, vice versa, or even how slow it can see. And so you can literally manipulate that camera using sound waves or light waves. You see what I mean?
That's why everybody calls you and I mental. We have mental health concerns, right? We have a disease because if we're awe-inspired and we think around the box, we don't think of what the institution teaches us, right? If you keep believing and learning only what the institution teaches you, then you're only going to stay in that section, right?
Well, my brain's stuck in a rut.
With the work and all of the mathematics and knowledge and comprehending them, but I never went to school. So I have the school, but I have the other part too. I lived in the bush growing up as a child. I caught rabbits. I lived the so-called free man on the land, the sovereign life as a child. I'm not a man trying to do it now. Right?
Well,
I'm a man that has been a child. Right? We always tell our kids, be a kid, be a kid, be a kid. I was a kid. I lived the way I wanted to live. I learned everything the way I learned it. Now I'm coming into their institution. Now I'm going to college at 30 years old, right? And I'm perceiving the world the way I want to see it. So I'm only getting out of that school what I want to get out of it, well, not what they're teaching
me. Well, my thing is this. I know certain things that I know that could benefit this world out there. Now, whether the people out in the world on the other side of the planet want anything to do with electricity, that's the choice that they make. But what I'm saying is that they should at least have that option if they want electricity, just like a homeless man should at least have the option if they want a house or not. Some people might choose that a homeless life would be best because they don't want the responsibility or basically the burden of having to... Once you own your own property, you're pretty much chained to it. You know what I'm saying? But if you don't own nothing, you can just wander the land and live off the land, that kind of stuff. But either way, the people in what they classify as third world countries should have the option to enjoy the same luxuries as everyone else out there in the world. And I feel that the best step towards doing that is proving once and for all to everybody on the planet that energy is free, and that you can take this energy anytime you want it or need it and use it to get work done. And basically, you get on a canoe and you ride down the river, you didn't have to expend no energy. You didn't take nothing away from nature in the process of that. You just went along for the ride. Now, if you decide you want to go upstream doing it the hard way, then you're going to have to put some effort and start paddling upstream. You got to fight against the forces of nature because nature wants to go this way and you want to go that way. But there are methods by which you can actually go against the stream and have nature actually foot the bill for it. If you ever watched how some of them old clipper ships go, they went into the wind, they went against the wind, they went sideways with the wind. They had ways by which they could turn their sails and go in any direction that they wanted to by learning how to use nature at their advantage. You see what I mean?
Right. If you want to play around, like you talking about levitation stuff, if you use a piece of wood and you put a little oscillator on there, a frictionless oscillator, if you want to build one of those, I can tell you later on. But if you put one of those on a piece of wood and you put it in the water and you turn up the oscillation on, you'll see that you can go forward, left, right, back with just that.
Well, there's a key right there. You know, there's a lot of different. If you put a speaker upside down on the floor, and you put the power to that, you know, as a bass frequency up underneath that right there, you can literally get that doggone speaker to hover across that floor. All right, and that's because of that vibrational wave. That's an acoustic wave that's actually being. And the air pressure up underneath there that's actually lifting that thing up off the ground. And so, using so many different technologies that we've already got in this world, you can actually balance that same thing out. That's what they did with a gyroscope, you know, to basically keep you level when you're out there, you know, where you're at. You see what I mean?
Right. See, there's a perfect example, okay? The speaker jumping up and down on the ground. Okay, now making it move up and down on the ground. Very simple. Take a 9-volt battery, stick it inside the speaker. Make sure you can box it once, right? And then just stick the two leads in the speaker and stick a bucket of screws in there. It's going to make connections and disconnections. It's going to go because of all that in there, right? Now the circular motion, right, of the gyroscope. One is periodic and one is sympathetic. One is going in a circular motion, right? And one is going up and down. When you create those two frequencies, you create a complete bubble around whatever object.
Well,
and if you were to say any kind of zero point energy, it would have to originate from sound.
Not necessarily, because you still got the sunlight, you still got the moonlight, you still got energy coming from space, you got energy coming from the dirt. There's energy in all different forms and all different frequency ranges all over the freaking globe and time and space in itself. Sound is probably one of the most useful tools that we use, because we use it to communicate with, we use it to... They do ultrasounds, for Pete's sake. You know, if they send a sound wave in and sends back a picture of a baby being born, that kind of stuff. So,
but again, without pressure moving in a direction, there would be no sound. See, we always say, what comes first, lightning or thunder, right? Well, we say, oh, we hear the thunder, now you count, oh, okay, now we see the lightning, right? Or you see the lightning, and then you count, and you hear the thunder. What comes first, the lightning or the thunder? Well, we know the pressure wave that initially went and propagated outwards.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but those are just side effects of the initial reaction.
We didn't hear that first initial pressure wave go out, or see it. But we hear the reverb when it comes back, and then the complete collapsation, which is the lightning. So we actually hear the sound first, and then we see the lightning. But because our senses are at a different velocity recording them, we see the lightning, then hear the sound.
You wouldn't have no sound if you didn't have no atmosphere, because there's no way for that wave to be translated into the pressure or the acoustic wave that vibrates your eardrum so that you can hear it. So all of these things have to come into play. Everything that goes, including light. Light travels in waves just like the sound and electricity and everything. So, you know, what it all actually is, whether we're all in this big giant bubble of water or whatever, it's the medium that, once you learn how you can tap on that medium, but like tapping on the face of the water or a piece of wood or whatever, that action that you just did sends out a vibration, and how fast, how hard you actually tap on that thing will determine how much power goes out the other side. You know, you can actually get in a pool and you can start splashing that water and you can make little ripples going out to the side of that pool, but if you keep ramping up that frequency of how fast you're hitting that water, eventually you'll get that energy built up where it will slop right over the side of the pool, just the same way that the energy on the Tesla coil will finally have a breakout and you'll get lightning bolts out the other side.
Right, just like a transformer. We have high frequency lines that are going, right? And they're hitting the transformer, which is a big coil. It's got a mass, it's got a volume, right? The volume has the amount of water in it, right? The copper is, has 8.93 cubed, centimeters cubed, right? That's its density, atmosphere, however you want to put it, effluvium, medium. And you're taking high voltage and you're tapping, bang, 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 which is making that water overfill the capacitor, the bucket of water, the jar of water, the cup of water, however you want to put it for terminology. And it's making it spew out, but it's only making a little bit spew out, and that's what your house is getting.
Well, see, what the significance of why I'm interested in plasma is because plasma has a lot of different capabilities. It's not just that you can get visible light and heat from plasma. It's that you can also tune it and generate another frequency on the opposite side. It's by simply speeding up and slowing down the molecules inside the argon gas or helium or xenon or neon or whatever. You speed those
about in the etheric state. It's playing with the integers on the mass scale of it. See, we use everything. That's why even your hydro bill is cheaper at nighttime.
Well, I'm trying to explain it so the average Joe can understand it. Essentially, it's a bunch of marbles bashing into each other.
Yeah. Right, because you can take a dead battery and vacuum out a tube and see what we call plasma.
Well, all right. I know...
Well, take lots of voltage and lots of amperage and crank it right up, and put an inert gas spraying around it, which decreases the pressure in the surrounding area, and cut something with it.
Well, that's the point. You can cut stuff with sound. You can run an internal combustion engine on water. There's so many different possibilities. The possibilities are limitless. They're only limited to the imagination of those willing to do the research and the math on all the stuff we're talking about. I mean, go out there and Google it up. Look, you'll find sound levitation. You'll find magnetic levitation. You'll find all kinds of really cool anomalies that could actually come together and get us into the space age as opposed to where we're at right now. We're still in a stone age, man. The technology that we got right now, even though this is cool, we can talk on this computer and all that kind of stuff, we should be so much further advanced. Huh?
It's still made out of stone.
I don't care what it's made out of. Personally, I don't care if it's all made out of stone, out of water. I know that science says we're all carbon-based life forms, but yet they'll still turn around out of the other side of their face and tell you that we're going to run out of crude oil. How's that going to happen when people keep dying and animals keep dying and plants keep dying? They rot. The system absorbs it down in the ground. Heat and pressure turns it into freaking oil.
It starts with our parents and with ourselves. See, if we make change, like I'll give you a good example. Well, Christmas time, I'll buy my kid all kinds of presents. There you go. Well, you're bad. Now I'm going to take them all away. Penalize you. even though it says in the Universal Declarations that I should not penalize you. I mean, that's how we teach our kids. So that's what they know. And that's how our government treats us and teaches us. You don't see us going, oh, you went over there and you killed a whole bunch of children in Afghanistan and put them in jail. Right? There's double standards, right? In the courthouse, the judge, for the judge to have their job, they swear on the Bible. They affirm, however you want to put it, on the Bible to get their job. But using the quote and the message and the principle of Jesus, Jesus says, never swear or affirm on any Bible. So how is that? You see, they're playing both sides. That's why they get away with everything. They have no oversight. And not no more. People are waking up. Remember I said we've only been academically inclined for 107 years. And now, like you said, when are we going to space? We know all of these things. Like you said, all over YouTube. Everybody's waking up and acknowledging that there's more to everything than what there is. It's a slow process. The Rome was never built in a day, right?
Well, my thing, like I said earlier, there's people in this world that are doing without. There's people in this world that are suffering. There's people that are dying needlessly over stupidity because somebody's greed. That's it. It hasn't got anything to do with anything but greed. You don't have to be over there fighting over somebody's oil to get control or somebody's gas line or whatever. You let them make their own money with their own stuff, you know. Let them be the manufacturers of tires if they got all the oil over there. It doesn't matter. And buy it from them. Everybody benefits. But those folks that are in the middle of a war zone or in the middle of a drought-stricken area or wherever in this world where they are living in poverty is not necessary because we have every single thing needed to ensure that these at least have the option to enjoy the luxuries that we all enjoy. That's my whole purpose for even doing any of this kind of stuff. So one day my children's future will look a lot better than our future, and then we ain't got some diplomat or representative up there trying to indoctrinate our kids into saying and doing things that are counterproductive to any advancement in society. They should be encouraging that kid to think outside the box so that that kid can discover new and better stuff. That's what I'm saying. But it's not. It's brain slavery. It's real slavery. It's murder en masse. And the people out there are so indoctrinated that they literally allow governments of the world to tell them things aren't possible. And then you will have another one of the mice in the maze, which we're all searching for the cheese. Another mice in the maze will actually come over there and ridicule you and tell you how stupid you are because you're saying one thing when the school book says another. I don't care about the electrical engineer's sheepskin or diploma that you talk about or whatever. I don't care about the doggone high school diploma or any piece of paper that says that you've been educated. If you can't take and critically think for yourself outside the box without having the basically Big Brother hold your hand through life, and if you have to believe everything that you're told just because it's written down into a book, then you're not anywhere near being free. You're just following everybody else to go along to get along. In order for this society to advance, we got to get people to thinking for themselves. We got to get people to think outside the box, to look past what is or isn't possible out there in this world. You know, the physics, the laws of physics, supposedly written in stone. I've seen things that defy the laws of physics.
People that think outside the box have a disease, a mental health concern, or they can't function right. And that's because they're trying to ridicule them.
That's true. And the people that talk about government corruption are tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists. That's how they label. They label everything. Just like the word religion. That makes me nauseated every time it comes out of somebody's mouth. Every time somebody says the word religion. Because they try to use that to degrade my faith and justify the reason why my book is bogus or whatever. When it has nothing to do with it, because I'm not religious, I never have been religious, and I'm not going to mince terminology with anybody on this planet. I know what I believe in, I know what I'm comfortable with, and so that's what I do. All right? But as far as religion, that word in itself basically is just like every other racist term out there. It's used to degrade somebody to the point where they're not going to feel free to believe in whatever it is they want to believe. They're not going to feel free to study or learn what it is that they want to learn.
Right. I got to go, though, for this. It was nice being on today's show.
All right. Take care. Thanks again.
Yep. Chuck.
So essentially, you know, we got all these possibilities out there in this world. And where I find it to be frustrating is the fact that we can't get any farther than we got, because everybody believes that so many things aren't even remotely possible. If you take sound waves, you can turn sound waves into electrical energy. You can turn electrical energy into sound waves. You can turn water into fuel to run a combustion, to internal combustion engine. You know, you can use oxygen to literally breathe underwater. You can take hydrogen by itself and use it as a torch to cut through steel. These are all basic science things, but yet you'll have really highly, supposedly highly educated individuals out there come and tell you why there's so many reasons why you can't do what it is that you're saying that you can do. That's frustrating. That's why I call it mad science, because I know that hydrogen has some pretty amazing qualities, and the welders out there, the ones that used to run oxygen and acetylene torches, are now using hydrogen torches because they seem to give a really good smooth cut and a lot faster and a lot cheaper than the two gases mixed together. So when the facts show one thing and the world says another thing, and I disagree with the standard belief system or whatever, then suddenly I'm a nutcase. I don't know what I'm talking about. This, like the whole current watts and amps thing that started off a freaking war in the alternative energy community with me and a lot of my friends because of what I said, because of the lack of understanding of what it was I was actually trying to point out. The mathematical, all the different deal works for the current watts and amps whenever you're going by the standard system. But I wasn't talking about going by the standard system. I was talking about only moving energy from point A to point B to get it to where I want it to be, so that I can use that energy in the form that I want to use it in. All right, now, obviously, the math for running a standard generator or a standard transformer or a light bulb, you can't do it without the current watts and amps. But voltage is pressure. Static electricity is high voltage and it has pressure. You can actually feel a Venturi effect as the static charge is getting ready to discharge across the gap, because voltage will take the least path of resistance to ground. But as the charge is building up on one side and gets ready, right before it gets ready to jump, you can literally feel an ion wind as other energy is being drug in through that system. And then finally you get it snapping across the other side, which in the same action, you actually get an acoustic wave out of the process. You can actually audibly hear that energy as it discharges across, and you can see visible light while it's happening. So all you're doing is moving energy from point A to point B. Now, how you get that energy, how you store that energy, is all up to you. But it's all one and the same. It travels in waves. When you throw nature off balance, nature will balance itself back out, and we get work done in the process. The standard version, as I've been saying it forever and a day, is that we use a brute force magnetic field with the lines of flux crossing north and south across the copper wire, shaking that electron around, getting that electron to interact with the one next to it, which that produces a strong magnetic field on that side at the opposite polarity, or even the same polarity, to either attract or repel something. So I ain't saying nothing that they ain't already been doing. That's the whole point. We're just not doing it right. We're doing it wrong. You know, maybe even what we call electricity. Gerard Morin out there has been calling electricity radiation. And if you look how energy travels, he ain't wrong. You know? And maybe the school book isn't wrong on what they call electricity. But the way that we use it, if you got wasted energy in the process of generating the energy that you want to throw nature off balance long enough to get some work done, then maybe it's time that you figure out a way to take that energy from the get-go, put in only what you need, and then use what you need, and that's that. But now, we're shoving gallons and gallons of gas in an internal combustion engine trying to go a short amount of miles when we know for a fact that tuned properly, we can take that same amount of gas and go multitudes the distance that we've went with that energy. So it's not that the energy potential isn't there, it's that the people won't take the time to figure out how to do it the proper way. Now Raymond's doing an experiment over there where they're vaporizing fuel to get the sea to get the most energy efficiency out of there, and he didn't just leave it that. He also put it into the deal where now they're going to try to capture the heat off of the exhaust, which is wasted energy, and turn that wasted energy back into electricity. Now that electricity could be used for a lot of different things. It could be used for electrolysis to actually separate hydrogen and oxygen, and then at some point, instead of using the vaporized gas that's going into the carburation system or the fuel injected portion of it, you could start injecting hydrogen and oxygen into that same system, and now you're running it off of water. And at some point, now you got this doggone thing spitting out water back out the exhaust that you could then in turn capture that water, filter it back out, and run it back through the system. So, you ain't lost nothing, you ain't gained nothing, you just got some work done in the process. That's why I say if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it, because it does exist. It's out there, it's everywhere. And for all those folks that want to argue with me over current watts and amps, I suggest that first you sit back and listen to what it is that I'm trying to explain to you. I'm not saying that the mathematics doesn't apply in the standard way that everybody looks at electricity. I'm saying to you that if I can take a high voltage, high frequency, and energize gas and tune that gas to get whatever frequency I want out the other side, when I get to the other side, I can turn it back into usable energy again, just like I did with this latest experiment here that the video sound wave is. I took the energy from the basic signal generator, run it into the speaker energized the coil, the magnetic field fluctuated in between the metal inside the speaker and the magnet inside the speaker, the diaphragm pushing in and out interacted with the atmosphere inside the closed chamber, produced an acoustic pressure wave that in turn went across to the opposite side to an unpowered speaker, vibrated that diaphragm in and out across the magnetic field, or the magnet and the metal inside there with the coil in, on the end of the diaphragm, and then produced electricity that in turn went back down through the wire into an amplifier and was sent back around to a speaker on the other side, which took that coil and pushed that diaphragm in and out and produced another pressure wave that replicated the sound that I started with to begin with. So that whole process shows every single thing that I've been talking about all along. All you're doing is taking the energy and transferring it from one point to the next. I took a sound wave and sent it through a system, replicated the sound wave back out on the other side. I didn't lose nothing in the whole entire process. It was all the same. It was the same wave on this side as it was on that side. The only difference is that when you're going through that atmosphere, that wave is going to slow down because of resistance. You figure out a way to pass that resistance right there, then you get that sound wave to be as efficient as physically possible. Instead of using a diaphragm speaker, maybe you just use a piezoelectric speaker and you transmit that sound. Two tuning forks, identical tuning forks, you get the first tuning fork going and the other one will have a sympathetic resonance as long as it's within the strength of that field right there, and you can transmit that energy across the tuning forks and then turn it right back into electricity that you can then turn into acoustic wave, and that you could then take that acoustic wave and repeat the process over again. All we're doing is moving energy, folks. And the only thing the copper wire is in the electric motors or generators is basically like the railroad tracks that moves your train from point A to point B. Your airplane floats on atmosphere and pressure. You know, you get something moving fast enough and it's got a big enough surface area, it'll float. That's the way it works. And so, you know, that's that. And where we take this knowledge is all up to us. We can take the sound energy, we can use it to cut rocks, we can use it to move rocks, we can use it to build cars that literally use sound to levitate. There's no limitations. You know, the only thing is you got to know that there are certain sounds that aggravate the heck out of people. There are certain sounds that will literally make you sick to your stomach. You got to learn the safe ranges of all the different frequency ranges from everything from electricity to sound or whatever, because you know, we live in the world that all these things interact with each other. You know, everything that you do, it doesn't matter what you're doing, waving your hand or whatever, you're producing a wave that's going out there. How far that wave goes out is going to be all dependent on you and the medium that you're doing it in. As simple as that. So that's how to understand energy. That energy can be transferred through just about anything under the sun, and you know, even the hardest materials out there will still, you can still send a sound wave through the hardest materials out there. Bang on it with a hammer on one side, you can hear it on the opposite side. It just vibrates right on through. So, until somebody shows up here, I might just take a music break and catch my breath since Justin peeled on up out of here. I gotta see if I can find something to listen to. I'll just throw something on there. Alright, everybody, you're listening to Mad Science. Stay tuned. Peace and love.
Hey, Dr. Steele, look at my new trumpet.
Well, that is a fine trumpet, soldier. Wow, strong, healthy lungs. Soldier? Soldier! Soldier! Hello? Can you hear me? I'm getting another call. Listen, soldier, just keep playing the horn and I'll get back to you. Sorry about that. Quiet all day and then everyone calls at one time. Okay, let's see here. Tell me when you can hear me. How about now? Hello? Hello? Listen. Listen to me. Listen to me.
Listen to me. Listen to me, my children.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen, children. Gather around, they hear the sound of my voice. There's girls and boys, well, you know it's a chore. You can do for yourself, or you can buy all my toys. You can call for help, jump around, make some noise. I never lied to you, you know I die for you. Yeah, I love you too.
Come on, show us some love. I'll be going to war. I'm lying, throwing that teeth to get everything I need. I'll be what you want me to be. That's why I'm dancing, dancing. Hello? Oh, blasted thing.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
To catch up on the news, some classified adverts I chanced to peruse when I saw a category called steampunk. I turned to it eagerly but left in a funk, for I quite enjoyed the steampunk aesthetic, but what I beheld there was rather pathetic. These intrepid online auctioneers had just taken modern objects and stuck on some gears.
It's simply not crickets, it shouldn't be done,
but it's clear how their thoughts had run.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
But it got even worse than that, I'm afraid, and as I went on, I became more dismayed, for they often didn't modify the things they wanted me to buy.
Heavens to Betsy, a land of unregrets.
Steampunk is more than a mere mode of dress or decoration, so it brings me some distress to see a metal cicada described with that name. Or a teacup, a mood ring, a silver gilt frame. Gluing on gears at least takes effort. This is sloth of the worst.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Steampunk refers to a type of science fiction about alternate past, not future prediction. Often set in Victorian Britain, but the history of technology has been rewritten. To put a bit of thought into your designs, use leather and brass, 19th century lines. Retrofuturistic is a good explanation. Blend antique reality with imagination. But calling things steampunk to try to sound cool makes you look like a bloody fool.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Gauges and rivets, copper tubing and glass lend a steampunk creation a real touch of class. Gears are appropriate to introduce if they look like they have a legitimate use. Although Nixie tubes are undeniably splendid, they date from long after the age of steam ended. Pity really, I just love Nixie tubes. Anyway, I hope you've comprehended. So use the word steampunk correctly, old chap, and don't use it to refer to crap.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Американская фирма Transceptor Technology приступила к производству компьютеров персональный спутник.
I've got
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Yeah, could you describe the ruckus, sir? You're listening to Shazoo's Radio Mad Science. If you want to join in on the conversation, you can jump over there to www.shazoo'sradio.com/superchat.html, and you get to talk to the Wake Radio side as well as the Shazoo's Radio side. It's kind of like a two-for-one chat room. Pretty cool. And so with that said, there's other links out there to other networks that are broadcasting and rebroadcasting. You can go talk to them as well. Or, you know, if you don't like what you're hearing on one station, you can just jump right over to another. It's pretty cool. So anyway, I posted a video earlier, talked about the video about basically Soundwave that I just put out yesterday. And basically, it's all about energy transfer. That's all we've been doing all along, is transferring energy. Stephen Gibbons posted a really cool video down here that you should go take a look at if you're interested in sound frequencies and the actual power of that specific energy. The video name is How to Melt Stone with Sound. And pretty good video. I've seen some pretty cool stuff in there so far. I haven't got the chance to watch the whole entire thing. And it says Workers Video Technology of the Ancients on there. So if you Google up or you get on YouTube and look for the How to Melt Stones with Sound or whatever, you'll probably run into this video right there. There's all kinds of videos out there on sound levitation and things that could be done with sound. It's just kind of mind-boggling. Part of the deal is, you know, there's one place out there they put like salt or some little crystals on a speaker plate, and then they'll vibrate that sound and watch the shapes that are actually formed within that field. It's pretty cool. So I'd suggest if you're interested in that, go out there and check it out, or jump over here to Shaziz Radio superchat.html and check those links out that Steven posted in there. And if you have an opportunity, go check out my last video there, the Soundwave video. Basically, what I'm trying to show in this video is that video wasn't necessarily designed for energy generation per se, because of actually what's going on in the deal. The speakers that are used in that aren't necessarily the most efficient way to do that. Essentially, you know, like I said, somebody's going to come on there and say, "Ooh, wow, you created a microphone, big deal." You know, that wasn't the point. The point was I took the energy from one unit, moved it through another piece, and then through the atmosphere, and then on the opposite side, and repeated it on the other side, and came back and did the whole process in reverse at the end of it, and you could hear an audible wave that was replicated by the process. It was just moving energy from one place to another. Once you understand how to move energy from one place to the other and how to get work done in between there, that's whenever you can start to build generating systems that are really efficient. Yeah, it looks like Raymond's calling in. If I can find the right mouse to click on here. How you doing there, Raymond?
Hey, how you doing, kid?
Yeah, we're live, brother. We got like 45 minutes left.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry I didn't get out here earlier, but I was busy out in the shop working on that vapor carburetor.
So how's that coming along?
Yeah, oh man, coming along great. My heaters just came in the other day. I've got several suggestions from different people. Two of them were comments on the videos. But the other comments were people, you know, that I actually know and either emailed me or called me on telephone. And everybody's suggesting using the heat off of the exhaust. Well, that's exactly what I intend to do. But what are you going to do in the wintertime, okay, and your fuel is cold and you haven't started your engine yet? Okay, that's why I've got the electric heaters in for the gas, okay? I just want to make that clear to everybody out there.
Well, yeah, part of what you're doing was done back in Germany, back whenever they did the whole doggone the Volkswagen. The Volkswagen, when it first came out, was kind of neat engineering, where they basically used the exhaust as the heating system for it. But it had a flaw in the system that whenever your exhaust got rusted, or that little plate that was around your exhaust got rusted, then you'd get exhaust fumes inside your car and choke you up out of there. So it's like I was trying to figure out whether or not they made the Volkswagen just for economy-wise, or they tried to kill us with it.
I had a nice set of 300. I don't know if anybody knows what they are. They look like a three-wheel car because the back wheels were 16 inches apart.
Yeah.
And it had the same kind of heat system for the inside. They took it just wrapped a big tin pipe around the exhaust manifold and put a fan in it, and you heated the inside of the vehicle from the exhaust manifold.
Yeah, so they were getting some efficiency out of it, probably more than the modern-day heater deal, but wouldn't have stopped them from doing something like that, like what you're doing right now, to show how you could actually generate some power, which would take away from the need for an alternator to be running all the time. And we already know how to take some of that heat off using the water jacket and basically suck it through a heater core. And even so much heat is generated that we have to have a radiator to try to get rid of some of that heat.
Right. You talk about efficiency. That car got 64 miles to the gallon.
Well,
with two gallons in it.
And I believe that range could be even stretched out even further than that.
It was a one-cylinder small motorcycle motor. The cylinder piston thing was barely a little bit over the size of a silver dollar. But it would run 60 miles an hour.
Well, this latest video that I just put out is called Soundwave. And I put it out there to show a point.
Right.
Essentially taking energy and changing it to a different form of energy and transferring it and then changing it back to another form of energy, that when you on the opposite side, you basically replicate the sound that's coming out of the first speaker. And so, get an opportunity to go watch that video, let me know what you think about it. But I specifically said in this video that this video isn't about energy generation per se. It's just to show how all we're doing literally is basically moving energy from one place to the next and getting work done in between. And so with that said, even that system itself could be modified to the extent that where now you could actually use sound as your generating source.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And
yes,
so when you make a sound wave, all that energy goes out and disperses into the air. But if you focus that sound wave into a closed container like I was doing there, you can recapture that energy on the opposite side. So basically, it's a pretty good video if somebody really pays attention to what it is I'm actually trying to point out in that video.
Right.
So anyway, One of the other things, wasted energies that happens on an internal combustion engine is that engine's going to vibrate.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's other things that you could actually take along with that as far as using the Peltier elements to capture some of the heat. You could also use the piezoelectrics to capture some of the vibration off of that deal.
Yes, that would definitely work.
So, you know, that's how the little kids' tennis shoes work. That little pressure piezoelectric crystal whenever they step down on it. So imagine if you got something in between, got a piezoelectric in between that block and something else where it's actually going to, when that block vibrates, cause pressure onto that little piezoelectric crystal. So they basically they'd be rattling around in a little thin casing or something.
You know, your springs, your coil springs in the front, they've got two ends on them.
Yeah.
That have three pressure at the vehicle hits bumps. The leaf springs in the back have three pressure points. So three and three is six and four is ten. So you can use just the springs, suspension system alone, you've got ten pressure points if you put piezoelectric crystals.
Yeah, and using just the old standard induction, basically putting magnets on your shocks and coils around your springs, you can literally use the bouncing around going down the road of the shocks to basically generate electricity. So you're getting electricity when the car hits a bump in several different directions if you're using piezoelectric as well.
What about the body of the car? Use a paint that has a lot of plastic in it and create a lot of friction. I mean, after all, didn't they used to put the ground straps on vehicles because they would build static electricity running down the road?
Well, there's another potential there right, as well as by using what we learned from the Wimshurst generator. You could literally build a system onto that doggone car as you're going down through the atmosphere, rubbing across your car would do just exactly what you said.
Yes.
Store that static charge. That's why I keep saying, Raymond, energy's unlimited.
Yes, it is. You know, when you really stop, close your eyes, and start thinking about it, weird stuff comes to your mind. Why are we putting ground straps on it? Why would we put it into a capacitor?
We've been told
a battery, you know.
We've been told forever and a day that so many things are not possible, and the laws of physics are essentially like the rule book. You know, you can't violate the rule. You can't violate the law, or you go to jail or something like that. You know.
You know, here's another thing too. it's not conservative, and there again, it is conserving energy. If you stop and think about the static charge that builds up, and you drop that 20,000-30,000 volts, but minute amperage, okay? But you drop it in your battery. You realize that that's how you take an old battery and make it good, is you shock it real quick with tremendous amounts of electricity. Now, high voltage, way more than 12 volts.
Shakes off the crud built up on the plates.
Yes, it does. So, actually, if you did that, your battery would last 8 or 10 times longer. And you'd be getting the benefits out of it, you know? I mean, you save money. It's wild. That's why people don't do that.
Well, we could actually, in reality, build a battery that would never go bad. But, you know, right. Of course, it's planned obsolescence. Everything has to break down, otherwise you can't sell more.
Exactly.
But, you know, in the energy community out there, there's always supposedly limitations. And what aggravates me the most is what I mentioned earlier, that you know, college professors or highly educated individuals out there will come on there and they'll start cursing you out or calling you stupid because you're not repeating what the school book said and you're talking outside the realm of what they learned as to be their reality or whatever. But in reality, I would think the person who had the less government indoctrination schooling would be the more intelligent individual because he's not closing his mind to potential, you know? We're actually going to be able to get some advancements out of the guy who's willing to, you know, try it before you deny it kind of thing.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. You know? It's unlimited power out there. Just because we use it inefficiently right now, and we allow people to make millions and billions of dollars on something that is essentially free, you know, the oil came out of the ground, all right? Somebody wants to dig it up out of the ground and sell it, that's their business. It's part of that making money thing in life. But when it gets to the point where it's just flat out ridiculous, where they are essentially have people's lives in their hands, you know, they can shut your power off anytime they want, you know. If you don't agree with the government, maybe they just shut the power off and you have to live in the dark and the heat and cold or whatever. But there's people in this world who are living without power and energy or whatever and living without the luxuries of what we get the access to, that should at least have the choice. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm hoping that by doing this mad science show and my YouTube channel like I do, that I can educate a few people into actually, taking it a step further and teaching people how to do things, you know, using recycled things, things that other people throw away. You can generate a lot of power. And I argue with doggone electrical engineers and all the so-called educated more than I care to say. It's like, I'm trying to tell them one thing and they're not listening to me because the school book says something else. Well, that's just not right. Well, energy travels in waves. Am I wrong? That's what the book said.
Exactly right.
Well, if energy travels in waves and you know that you can make waves, and then whenever you make those waves, nature's going to balance it back out. So like when you hit the water, the waves are going to go out, they're going to collapse in on themselves, and the water's going to be calm again until you hit it again. Alright, so all we're doing is throwing nature off balance. Nature puts everything back, and in the process of doing that, you know, it's kind of like nature saying, shoo, fly, and that's nature whips that hand back around. We get work done in the process. So, what in tarnation's that? So if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it, because it exists. It's all around you. You're floating in a sea of free energy. Now, why are we still paying electric bills, man? Because we ain't got together and designed the perfect generator that can basically do what nature does best. You know, we can throw solar panels on batteries. We know that. There's one problem solved right there. We can throw a wind generator on there. Looks like Thomas is trying to call in. I'll have to add him to the call. I just hung up on him. I'm going to add him to the call here. Add people to this call. Y'all, like, must have had banker's hours today. Do you still there, Raymond? Or shut your microphone off?
I'm here.
All right, well, I'm trying to add Thomas to the call, so...
I was, I muted my mic to see if all that background noise was coming from me, and it wasn't.
It might have been that hum whenever you're not talking, your Skype trying to adjust everything.
Okay. There's Thomas.
Yeah, well, he's blinking, but he ain't in there yet.
Oh, okay.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, I see the little deal. Thomas, are you there yet? Are you there yet? Earth to Thomas. Let me end this call, and then I think he's in there. Thomas?
Mm-hmm.
Aha!
Got you.
Yay, we got you in here, man. Sounds like you was up late again.
No, I'm just recovering from being up late the night before. Project had to be done, and it was not wanting to be completed, so...
I see.
Microphone number, not wanting to be completed as dialed. What's going on?
Stephen said, the scientific community is like those monkeys because they got told off for questioning their theory. They feel justified in telling you off for questioning. That's exactly what goes on out there in this world. When you tell people that there is a better way to do energy and they want to argue with you, they're just essentially indoctrinated. That's it. There ain't no nicer way to say it, you know. You question the teacher at school and you get told to shut up. That's what the book says. That's what you're going to learn, whether you like it or not, regardless of whether you agree or disagree. But if you're a kid like me in school and you're seeing something mechanically in your mind and it doesn't jive with what the teacher's saying, and you say, well, you know, but what about this? Why has that got to be like that? They don't want to answer your questions. They want you to answer their questions, and it's got to be the way the book says. Otherwise, you get an F on your doggone testing deal there. So I did a video yesterday about taking sound waves and inside a closed container, transferring that energy that is generated from a signal generator into the speaker, vibrates the diaphragm, produces a pressure wave, an acoustic wave that goes in through the closed-in system, vibrates the diaphragm on the opposite side of a non-powered speaker, and actually produces a small amount of current that you can see on the voltmeter in the middle volt range. At the same time, that energy is being sent into an amplifier that in turn pushes it out to a speaker, which you now can hear the sound on the speaker amplified the same tone as the one that I started off with. What in the heck was all that? Sound like somebody's getting murdered in the background. You guys still there?
I know it wasn't me because I had my mic muted.
Thomas, you alive?
He had trouble with his microphone.
Oh, well, it's like I hope the Bait City guy didn't get in, the motel guy. Or it sounded like somebody got murdered in the background. All right, Thomas, if you can hear us and you get your microphone going again, let us know you're still alive. Anyway, so basically, I think I just heard something clicking. Basically, we're just showing that there's so many different ways to transfer energy. That's all we're doing. Been saying that for every day. Now, when we run our appliances today, we waste a lot of energy because even these computers that I'm setting here around, they're generating heat, which is raising the temperature up inside there. Now, if there was a way that I could vent these computers out to still allow them to be cool, but vent them out of the room, then my electric bill as far as cooling in my room would be cheaper. Am I wrong?
Right.
So
dryer vent.
Termit?
Dryer vent and dryer hose.
Oh, yeah, there you go. See? Simple brilliance. Hardware store stuff.
A little wide with a valve that you turn by hand in the spring, you turn it one way so all the heat goes outside. In the winter, you turn it the other way so your heat goes in the house.
Yeah.
So you close the heat the house and you get a little moisture in the air so you don't get a dry hose.
Yeah, so if you're going to be running it anyway and you're going to be generating this waste energy that you're trying to get rid of, you might as well use it, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least make it more efficient. And that's the whole key. They're talking about reducing carbon footprint, but when's the last time you ever heard about them talking about how to make it more energy efficient? They got these little stickers that they put on appliances that says Energy Star or Energy Efficiency or something like that, you know? They're still wasting.
I've never seen them set a system up so that the dryer hose doesn't go directly outside. It goes into the room where the water heater's at and through the water heater and up the water heater vent.
Yeah.
So it heats the water as it goes by to keep the temperature that the gas or the electricity that's heating the water up is the amount of energy that has to supply is reduced.
See, and that's brilliant. Now, as long as you don't have two systems that are fighting amongst each other, like if I try to use my dryer in the same exact system that I'm going to be using to try to vent my computers. You know, if you know enough about energy, you know that the strongest wave or the strongest pressure is going to win out, so I'd be pumping a lot of heat into my computer from my dryer if I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah, that's how one of the complaints about tankless water heaters. They're pressure related as far as turning the heat on, and if the heat's not on, then you're not getting hot water, you're getting cold water.
Yeah.
Because there is no reserve. So if you turn the cold water on too high, what happens is it basically reduces the pressure of the water flow through the hot water tank, and the hot water tank, the hot water heater, the hot water heater just shuts off.
Yeah, don't have enough time to do nothing. So basically, learning those ins and outs, those flaws, and even Lenz's law, as far as that matter, you know, if you know that by inducing a current into a coil of wire, you're going to create a second field, then you don't want that result to occur, then don't invoke that law. I mean,
well, here's another little trick too for those who don't know about tankless hot water heaters. If you don't shut it off, if it's still running, what you're doing is you're reducing the flow of water through it, so the water that's going through there is getting hotter. So for when you change your hot to cold water ratio to get warm water instead of hot water,
yeah,
it doesn't take but a few, like a half a minute or so before it goes right back to being just as hot as it was before, because now the water that's going through is getting so incredibly hot that it's taking that cold water that you got coming in there that was making the heated water before into warm water back into hot water, because you have the same amount of heat energy concentrated into your water, even though some of that water is not getting heated by the hot water tank.
Cool. Looks like Muddy's in here. I'm going to try to add him to the call. Do-do-do-do-do. So, basically, what you're saying is you got to slow it down long enough for it to allow it to that heat to transfer, right?
No. You know, what I'm saying is if you want warm water, you're going to have to go to the hot water tank and adjust the hot water tank. I mean, the hot water heater. Sorry, there's no tank. You're going to have to go to the hot water heater and adjust the temperature directly on it, which is what I've had to do.
Okay, well...
Or you have to have two separate water flows that don't interfere with each other, like basically two spigots, one for cold, one for hot.
Well, what about something?
Let them mix wherever they're going, you know, and then use it wherever it's at, like in a sink or whatever, a tub.
What about something more simple along the lines of putting a hot water heater closer to the sink?
You're still shutting off the flow of hot water, though, or slowing it down so that all that's getting hot.
I'm saying that, like...
You'd still have to adjust your temperature on the heater itself, no matter what.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying, like, if you got, like, your hot water heater, and then there's, like, 30 feet of pipe between your hot water heater, the pressure of the cold water going into the hot water heater is what actually makes the hot water come to you.
And it's completely full all the way from beginning to end. So
yeah.
Anything you do at one end changes the flow all the way through the system instantly.
Yes. Meanwhile, during the winter time, your 30 feet of extra pipe in between you and the sink is cold.
Oh yeah, the closer you put the hot water heater to the less energy you're gonna have to pump into hot water, because you're not having a reserve of hot water left in that piping.
Yeah.
Or having to wait for it to get warm either, because you don't have to wait for it to push all the cold out of the pipe before you get the hot water and heat the pipe up, because the pipe's going to cool it off as it's passing through it too.
Well, in some places they actually insulate the doggone pipe for the hot water side after the hot water heater.
Right.
It's always tested.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead, Ram. Sorry.
I tried 5 times. I did exactly what you're talking about. I put a 20-gallon hot water heater in the kitchen under the sink. I put a 20-gallon hot water heater in the personal bathroom, in my that master bedroom, and I put another 20-gallon hot water heater in the main house bathroom. So everywhere I had water and I needed a hot water, I put a hot water heater there. And my electric bill dropped drastically.
That's because once it gets heated up, as long as it's insulated, it'll hold heat like a thermos. And so the only problem is if you got an uninsulated system and 30, 40 feet in between the pipe, you got to compensate for all that cold water, because that uninsulated pipe's going to be cold. So you got to sit there and run the water for a while, so you're wasting water trying to get the hot water.
If you do what I did, your water bill will go down a little, and your electric bill will go down a lot.
Yeah.
A whole lot.
So how you doing, Muddy?
Oh, doing all right. Yeah, I was a little groggy, slept a little late, woke up.
All y'all must have, except for Rami. He's probably out doing business while y'all's banker hours, because you stayed up too late.
Somebody loan me some copper grounds. Sound funny?
There ain't no way to get them through the computer or else I'd give you some.
Yeah, shove them through the microphone and I'll put my cup underneath the speaker.
Well, find out what frequency the coffee grounds are and we'll levitate them over to you.
It's not going to be known as troll logic anymore. It's now known as muddy logic.
too much brain work. I guess I'll make some tea. Yeah.
Yeah,
TV. You're the electronic genius here. Why don't you build us a transporter so we can do just that?
Yeah.
Like, beat me up, Scotty.
Well,
we can put his life down here.
Basically, I think what I've been trying to point out is all these science fiction shows that show you possibilities. You know, they say life imitates art, and, you know, I don't discount any possibility. We know that levitation with sound is possible. We know that magnetic levitation is possible. So why isn't it possible to literally take a really heavy object and be able to use those concepts that cause the one to actually do one for the other? If you understand what I'm trying to say here.
Basically, isn't that roughly what a 3D printer does? It takes plastic, melts it down, turns it into thread, and you feed it through the 3D printer and reprint that object out, but new.
Yeah.
Tom, that's make me some copy ground, Tom.
Huh. I bet he could. I bet he could 3D print a coffee bean.
I bet you could. Knowing Thomas, I guarantee he can do it. He may not be able to do it right now, but eventually he will. He'll figure it out. We give him some used coffee beans, if we melt down, and put them out into brand new ones.
Well, either way, basically the whole concept of the video that I did yesterday was to move energy from point A to point B to show that the energy can be changed and changed back, and if you can generate electricity with sound, you can generate sound with electricity vice versa.
Change. What?
He's going to sing the song Changes.
The problem is I don't have the resources to sing, so.
Well, hey, you could give it a shot. You could actually, by your singing, invoke somebody who could sing better to drown you out, see? What do you think? What'd you say, buddy? Buddy said something and then he disappeared.
I said, like Shazoo.
Yeah.
Shazoo can drive you out.
Anyway, so basically, now that we understand how energy actually functions, without arguing over the high-tech terminology of everything, now we could actually get into building generating systems that are as efficient as physically possible, which I believe you could actually reach 100% efficiency, if not more, because of certain things that I've seen in my life, such as, you know, videos of the atomic bomb going off. It didn't take as much power as the atomic bomb has the capability of releasing to start it. Otherwise, we'd have never got it started. Am I wrong?
Well, you're right.
So, we was able to get out more than we put in that instance, but yet, the laws of physics says you can't get out more than you put in, right?
Right.
Well, how do they explain the atomic bomb, or the hydrogen bomb, or any explosion for that matter?
How do you explain somebody going out, getting something to eat, and then using the energy they get from that something to eat to go and collect more food than they basically collected the first time and ate?
Yeah!
That's over unity, isn't it?
Well, I would think so.
Hey, well, how about back in the early 20s, when they took steam shovels and you burnt 1 pound of coal, produced steam, and the steam shovel dug 20 tons of coal on that 1 pound and loaded it in trucks. Come on, that's not over
to
you,
free energy.
Yeah.
Well, I've been saying it forever and a day. If you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it because we're floating in the sea of it. But once again, You got to get past the indoctrination of people that can't even, think for themselves. I mean, if the school book says, they're going to call you stupid for disagreeing with the school book. But who wrote the school book, There's some man, some woman out there who had a theory and basically it sounded good, sounded plausible. Everybody agreed, yep, that's it, that's the one. And so that's what we follow. But as far as advancement in there, you got to explain to me why it is you can build a standing wave and actually levitate objects in that standing wave, and you got to explain to me why it is materials like bismuth will allow you to literally decide where a magnet is going to set in a field while it's levitating, and other materials such as that. So with that said, knowing that there's magnetic levitation, there's sound levitation, and who knows what else is possible in this world because of all the things that you've seen that people's actually done. But taking those things to their potential is what we're trying to get accomplished here. We're trying to get people motivated to use their brain to think about how far you could actually push something as simple as a little anomaly, like the old pop-pop boat that we've been talking about. How far could you take that? You're going to heat that coil up, and in the process of heating that coil up, that heat's going to go somewhere. Well, couldn't we recapture some of that heat as it's on its way out? It's going out regardless. You can't stop it. You see what I mean?
Yep.
And if you put it in a closed loop system and the closed loop system finally heats up, then that heat is not going to be stopped by that barrier. Whatever that shell is that's around it is going to begin to get hot too. So you can't stop the energy no matter how hard you try. Whether it's a sound wave or whatever, you can put things in its path, you can slow it down, but you ain't going to stop it. It's going somewhere. It's going to find the path of least resistance in any direction that it possibly can. High voltage does the same. Because of the frequency of high voltage, it's able to travel through all kinds of stuff. And at certain frequency ranges, you can literally see plasma from a plastic-coated wire. You can see that plastic-coated wire generate plasma around that insulation. And at some point, it will literally begin to burn right through that insulation if it has a path to ground somewhere. So there it is, right there, man. If that ain't proof, I don't know what it is. So what's your guys' thoughts on it? Anybody?
Well, I would say that relying on the people who can't figure out what makes knuckles pop is not really a good idea. I mean, they had their theories and they stuck by their theories and said, oh, this is definitely it because this is the most sound thing. And then they did an ultrasound and went, holy crap, it's not right. We don't really know for sure what's going on, where that bubble's coming from, where that explosion comes from,
Yeah.
We know that the bubble is being destroyed in the process, but it wasn't there to begin with. It just pops up out of nowhere and then disappears after the knuckles pop.
Well, could it have anything to do with, like, when the Chinese practice Tai Chi and they start focusing their inner energy towards any particular part? And
They don't know. That's
what I'm saying.
And there's no experimentation that has proven it one way or another replicable. So,
but regardless, the energy's still there somewhere. I mean, it has to be. We're hearing acoustic wave every time somebody pops their knuckles.
Here's the thing, is that you're stepping, now that we know that there is a bubble that's actually popping up out of nowhere and then being dissipated,
yeah.
You're stepping into the realm of the technology called cavitation.
Yeah.
So, it's going to take some work to figure out what's going on there, just like it's still going to take more work to figure out what's going on with whenever Tesla was flipping that switch back and forth and that flashback that was clear on the other side, on the inside of that insulated room, and you can still feel it,
Yep, and what they can't explain with regular physics, they can explain away with quantum physics. It's magic. We just don't know.
And imaginary.
Yeah. So,
measure the process, apply a number. Okay, now we can do the math.
Yep, there you go. But what about that one time that the math didn't add up? What about that one time that there was a strange anomaly that was unexplainable, but it only happened one time? You see?
My answer is, look, if they explain something with math and then put a name on it, how do they even really know that the math was right?
Right.
So I'm saying what you've seen on Star Trek and Deep Space Nine and Star Wars and all the different sci-fi shows out there, I'm saying those are possibilities. I'm saying teleportation. I'm saying everything from Beam Me Up, Scotty, to levitation, to anti-gravity. All of that's possible.
What about Buck Rogers' comic book back in the early 50s and late 40s? Flying through space, shooting and killing people and cutting holes through steel with a pistol that shot a bolt of light. I mean, they're gone.
Yeah.
We've got that now.
Yeah, but see, back in your days, the Buck Rogers, they didn't have all the cool CGI. They had, like, looking like irons hanging from strings with sparks going out the back.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that and using a pencil eraser on the film afterwards to erase the line where the beam was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Doing it on every single frame.
That would be tedious, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But either way, what Raymond mentioned is like the old Dick Tracy, where Dick Tracy had a watch that you could actually talk back and forth to each other using this watch. Well, now we got cell phones that do the same doggone thing.
I thought he had a video phone.
You can actually see the person that you were talking to.
Yeah.
We got cell phones that have the internet, so they get on Skype. People can actually see one another and talk to each other.
It's time.
Flying bucket.
So at one time it was science fiction because we supposedly didn't know how to do it, but now it's science fact. So don't tell me we can't do what they do
science
on TV.
Science fiction, science pot, what?
Yeah.
Science people. Educated people that refuse to read Buck Rogers comic books or read Dick Tracy comics because they knew it was absolutely impossible, so it was ridiculous to even think about it. I mean, now look at we've got all that today. So who's bringing up what today?
Yeah, and there's a comment in the chat room for Muddy. Muddy, since you was out of coffee, Stephen Gibbons said you can dehydrate dandelion roots as a coffee substitute.
You can that.
Cedar trees around here drop so many droppings the dandelions choke out.
Oh.
Break the bark off the dandelion root, toast it in the oven, grind it up, and it makes beautiful coffee.
All right. We'll go down and knock on the neighbor's door and barter with them. Give them a can of beans for a scoop of coffee.
No, I'm just too lazy to walk across the yard to get a supply of coffee beans.
Well, see, that's a conservation of energy, man.
That'll be all right. Yep.
That's a conservation of energy. You're conserving energy, so you're not going to get out more than you put in.
I've got 2-3 years worth of coffee.
Yeah, take the effort to walk over.
I was saying, those are powerful words, man. That's called the truth, and the truth will set you free, man.
Yep.
Of everything except responsibility.
Yeah, isn't
it? It also doesn't set you free of consequences.
Yeah. Which means you don't get no coffee. No soup for
that's
you.
That's right. That's right. admitted that you're too lazy to go get the coffee, but admitting that you're too lazy to go get the coffee doesn't make coffee magically appear.
We'll mail you some. You ought to get it by next month.
That's nice.
All right, so anyway, folks, we're getting down close to it. We have about like 8 minutes left going on, I guess. But anyway, we got all kinds of different stuff that we keep pointing out on these shows. And if you see an experiment out there and you need kind of help with it or whatever, ask us. Ask any of us. We'll point you towards our research or try to discuss with you. If you want to join the shows, add us on Skype or whatever. Jump over there to the chat room at ShazizRadio.com or /superchat.html. You get to talk to the Awake Radio site as well. There's links to other networks that you can go over and talk to them. The information's out there. As my buddy Steve always says, that we have the sum of all humanity's knowledge at our fingertips. You know, it's what we use it for. It's going to make the difference of what kind of world we end up in.
You know, Shaziz, you can get
you've invited people to come on the show or come up with ideas many times, and I don't remember anybody actually doing that. And I'm thinking that there are some people, there's got to be, for as many listeners as we have, there's got to be people out there with good ideas, and they're just scared that somebody's going to laugh at them or poo-poo them down or whatever. And that's one thing we would never, ever, none of us on this show would ever do, and that's laugh at somebody if they had an idea that wasn't right or if it was really good.
That's right.
We'd never laugh at anybody.
And it's got to do with Muddy's coffee deal. He said, you know, you got to get up, you got to want to get up to go get the coffee. Or you get no coffee. So don't think your idea is bad. Just, you know, there ain't no such idea, no stupid idea in my book. If you're thinking outside the box, that's the brilliance. That's where the brilliance starts.
Damn, my group makes great coffee. Goldenrod makes the best tea. It was the English tea traders that used to come to the colonies, the United States before it was the United States, and trade farm equipment and textiles for goldenrod tea. They would take the goldenrod tea to China and trade it for Chinese tea at the rate of 1 pound of goldenrod tea for 100 pounds of Chinese tea. Duh, that tells me it must have been some really good stuff. And here we spend billions of dollars every year in herbicides to try to kill the stuff off. Why don't we just rain it and throw it and trade it?
Well, and there's another key point there that you just made. Everything out there has usefulness, man. You know, yep. There's all kinds of stuff out there.
If it didn't have usefulness, it wouldn't be there very long.
Yep, and even poison ivy could have usefulness. You know, your enemy comes to your door, you rub some poison ivy on him, and he'll leave you alone from that point on. Unless he's not allergic to it, then you'll have to go to something like sumac or oak or something.
Oh, yeah. The warfare man.
Yeah.
I've been mowing grass taller than me, laced with all three, man.
Man, sorry about your luck.
I tell the difference between the mosquito bite and your normal skin there.
Well, in some reasons or another, I would think that nature protected certain plants for a certain reason. So if it's got some sort of bad defense mechanism, it's probably a good reason why nature's tried to put that mechanism like a thorn tree on there, you know, whatever, to keep that, keep you away from it for a reason, you know. Find out what that reason is. You know, there's people out there that like burning hedge because it has oil in it, and there's people out there that like burning locust because it basically burns as hot like that. So, knowing what's around you and the chemistry that's all made up of, there's usefulness in everything. And even after you burn the wood, you still got fuel left over to spare. That's pretty amazing, ain't it?
Yes, it
turn the wood ash into lye soap.
Right.
And they call me stupid.
I want to thank all those involved in resurrecting the Lake Radio and keeping it on the air. I want to thank Santa Claus for paying a full year.
Yep, Santa Claus is my hero.
I want to thank Ed Opperman for stepping up to the plate for management. And he's got a heck of a lineup. He's got Pierce Redmond, Chuck Ocelli from the Ocelli Effect, and Nick Drago. And Dylan Reed is back. Chris Milligan from Time Day Press. And let's see, we got one more. Their online radio show is coming to Wake Chiz's Radio. So, y'all, look at check the schedules and start looking for them and, when you can listen to them. I'm sure things are going to be great. These are great hosts, and I hope they can stay with us a long time.
Yep, we got more good information to come, and we're trying to bring more people on board, so if you're interested, jump on the bandwagon, or at least jump in the chat room and say hi, and you know, help us keep it going. That's about it for the Mad Science Show, guys. We're down to it, so...
Zeech White River is back on the team as well. I'm pretty sure he's taking care of the websites and stuff like that, so three cheers for him as well.
Cool. Where there's a wheel, there's a way, folks.
Yeah.
You guys got any last words there, Raymond or Thomas?
You'll be able to cover just about all stuff.
Yeah, we cover a lot. So we'll cover some more tomorrow on the Knights of the Round Table if y'all wake up in time.
All right.
I'm going to see you, Santa.
All right, everybody, you've been listening to the Mad Science Show. Peace and love, and stay tuned. Take care. Join us for the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow if you get the opportunity. So that's it. Hope y'all learned something. If you like these podcasts, pass them around. That's how you support these radio networks, letting people know what you're hearing.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.